want to see start in place of Chris Middleton? You want to see Pat Connaughton out there? You want to see Grayson Allen out there? They're currently shooting a combined 3 for 19 from the field, 2 for 16 from three-point range. Three-point range is supposed to be kind of their bread and butter. It's supposed to be the area where they're really coming through for the team. No one expects them to be able to duplicate the defense that Chris Middleton plays. Certainly, they can't duplicate the chemistry that Chris Middleton has with Giannis after playing together for as long as they have. But somebody's going to have to step up. You need more from Drew Holiday. Is it possible, guys? This is going to sound absurd. I'm saying that before I even say it out loud. Do you need more from Giannis, Gabe? Can you get more from Giannis? It seems like a lot to say, hey, Giannis, you know, if you're in that conversation for MVP, we need you to go out there and put up a 50-burger in every game down the stretch here.
No. I mean, can Giannis give you more from time to time? Sure. But if you are expecting more than 33, 18, and 9 out of any player ever in the NBA, you just, no. No. Like, you can't expect more out of Giannis. Maybe you can expect the free throw, you know, hey, you got to be more efficient from the free throw line. Like, we can't be missing those, sure. But those are just, like, little things in the margins. The big leaps have to come from everybody else on the roster. Because, again, if Giannis is putting up 33, 18, and 9, he is more than holding up his end of the bargain.
I would also argue he's done an exceptional job, guys, of recognizing when Chicago is putting that wall up for him, and then he's kicking it out. Like, his passing in these last few games was actually some of the best I've ever seen, which is him recognizing what the other team wants to keep him from doing and kind of, again, evolving his role on this team. Go ahead, Chu.
Yeah, but can't you Tyreek Hill him? And what I mean by that is just give him his 30 points, 10 and 10, or whatever it is, and make the other guys beat you, right?
I mean, that's what the wall is supposed to designed to do, right? Like, the wall there is designed for Giannis to have to kick it out, and you have decided, hey, I'm okay if Pat Connaughton takes 6 corner threes. Hey, I'm okay if Grayson Allen gets that three. I'm okay if Brook Lopez is taking that shot
Wes
from
Matthews.
The outside. That's what the Bulls have pretty much already decided, is that, hey, when we put up that wall, that being said, putting up that wall isn't always a guaranteed Giannis stopper, seeing as how he's gone over 30 points
out of the five games. Out of the five games that are left, you know, Holiday is going to at least have two of those games where he scores single digits, right? That's just how he plays.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
Who's going to make up for the scoring? I'm telling you.
Well, Holiday, there's not a chance. Like, I mean, even though, like, Holiday was bad in the first two games, he still scored 16 points in each of those games. Like, he's not going to have a game where he scores single digits.
Would you take him off of DeRozan?
No. He's got to be on DeRozan.
Why? The harder he works on the defensive end, the it's going to take away from his offensive production.
Sure,
you can't play linebacker and tight end. You know what I mean?
The only way the Bulls win this series is if DeRozan continues to score 40 points. Which, again, DeRozan had a streak, I can't remember what it was, 7, 8, 9 games, whatever it was, where he was over 35 points per game. So he can get hot and go through those stretches. But when Drew is on him, like, Drew is one of the best on-ball defenders. So the only way I think that the Bulls win this series is if the Bucks allow DeRozan to continue to be, like, DeRozan can get his points, but he can also be inefficient in scoring him. Like, he scored 29 points against the Bucks in a game earlier this year, but he did it on 29 shots.
And then,
you know, so if they can make him be inefficient, which is what Drew can do, that kind of helps you on the offensive end, because you're not going to have to score as much because DeRozan's just not going to get his.
So then the next concern becomes, of course, guys pressing. I don't want to see guys pressing out there as they try to, like, make up for Middleton's absence, and you get a guy like Drew out there who's trying to do too much, because the last game he wasn't able to, you know, he didn't have the game he would have liked. The previous game he didn't have the game he would have liked, so he's going out there. Like, there were times in game two where I think I told you guys, yeah, you're down a few. You're down a few buckets, and all of a sudden the Bucks go to, like, iso ball where they're just running down the court and chucking up threes. Stop chucking up threes. Like, that can't be the game plan either. I think you have to look for the double, and I think you have to work. Your rotations have to be good, and you have to figure out a way to find the open man. And the good news is, guys, they have a lot of guys who can shoot the three and who can shoot it well. I just don't know if then the Bulls, who were better at mid-game adjustments, we all said, than the Bucks were in game two, will adjust to that. Like, what adjustments, Gabe? Bring me inside the practice facility. What adjustments do you think the Bulls, I'm sorry, the Bucks every time with the, I don't know why. I have no, I should just say Chicago and Milwaukee and just save myself the trouble. What adjustments are the Bucks making yesterday as they know that Chris Middleton isn't playing in game three?
I think what some of the things that they're going to do is mostly on the defensive end. Like, offensively, I don't think that they're going to change all that much. Yeah, there are times when Chris can just kind of go ISO and play bully ball and get to his spots, get to the mid-range and shoot over smaller defenders. But defensively, I think, is where they're going to make some of the bigger adjustments. I think we're going to see Jrue Holiday on DeMar a lot tonight. I think we're going to see Giannis start off on Vukovic. I think that the Bucks are going to play less drop coverage with Brook Lopez because that allows DeRozan, LaVine. The Bulls are one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the NBA. They took the least amount of three-pointers in the NBA this year. They don't want to shoot threes. So when the Bucks play that drop coverage, they're just inviting that mid-range game where the Bulls have been pretty efficient this season. So I think you're going to kind of see some of the mix-up. They're going to change some of the things they do defensively to try to prevent DeMar DeRozan from getting to his spots, Zach LaVine from getting to his spots.
So when it comes back to Milwaukee, what will the series be at? Gabe?
3-1.
You are. I ain't listening to you at all. That is Toad of all toads and the Toadheimer. And Mick Toadster went to the toaster and got some toads.
Isn't it just called a toadster then?
Yes. That is the toadiest thing
it's
I've ever heard
Toady
in my life.
The toadster on caffeine right there. That's what that was. Yeah. All right, let's listen to, speaking of caffeine, Charles Barkley thinks that the lack of energy from the Bucks has been a part of their struggles early on in this series. Let's take a listen to him.
I think Coach Bud got to be concerned with their energy level. I mean, other than the first quarter of game one, they've been kind of flat line. They're not playing with great energy and intensity.
Ooh, I expected Charles to go on a little bit longer than that. So, yeah, I mean, that has been a concern. That has been an issue. We actually talked about that when we were trying to figure out what has been the problem with the Bucks the last couple of games. How do you, though, and you, Chewy, you having been in locker rooms, how do you bring more energy to a game while also doing what you're supposed to do, right? Because energy feels like one of those things that you can kind of fake, and then that would be to the detriment of the things you actually have to get done.
Yeah, that scares Charles, and Charles would know. I mean, he's obviously played the game, but that, what he said, is Super Bowl 32. That's, you know, we're supposed to win this series. We're going to win it. That just happens. It's just, it's human nature. You're not as hungry the second year after you win a championship. It's just, it's kind of like the Packers playing a crappy game and LaFleur saying they came out flat, you know?
So
that's what came out flat. Go ahead, Gabe.
Well, so then, Chew, couldn't this Chris Middleton in the short term, much like, again, bring it back to football, Chew, whenever we talk about the Packers losing Devontae, we eventually have that fan who calls the show and says, well, the Packers the last couple of years, they've been like 7-0 without Devontae Adams. And in the short term, I think the Packers were able to come up with game plans without Devontae that they could survive against the Arizona Cardinals, against the teams like that, where you can do it in the short term, and it maybe just sharpens that focus. So in the short term, without Chris Middleton against the Bulls, does that kind of give you that jolt of energy like, oh boy, man, Chris isn't here, we better focus up? Obviously, in the long term, they're going to need Chris Middleton, just like the Packers in the long term last season needed Devontae Adams. But in the very short term, couldn't that kind of provide that spark for that energy that they've been lacking?
It could. Typically, it goes the other way with Chicago when they see Middleton out. I mean, how do we lose in, I think it was 95 or 96, to Dallas with Jason Garrett as their quarterback? You know why? Because you sit there collectively and go, Aikman's not playing? Ooh, all right. God, how nice is that? He's not playing. And then they get lit up like a Christmas tree, you know? I don't think that happens with Chicago. If anything, they smell more blood in the water, you know? And if the Bucks, like Oakley said, don't match their intensity, then they're going to lose, and they're going to lose a series, right? You can't, Gabe, you can't just win on whatever alone. I don't know what
talent?
Whatever is.
Isn't it you can't win on talent alone?
That was
I got
it.
Your back, buddy.
Yeah. I was going to go toads alone, but talent works better.
See, I think where Gabe and I disagree here is that I said, can you ask for more from Giannis? And he said that that's not fair. And I don't necessarily think that it's fair, but I think it's a must right now. I think everybody has to step up. And it doesn't make sense to just go, Grace and Allen need more from you. And Wes, we need more from you. And Drew, we definitely need more from you. And Brooke, we need more from you. But Giannis, you just keep doing what you're doing. I think as the leader of this team, as a guy who's in the MVP conversation, he has to step up his game as well. And I know that you may say, like, how can he find another level? There is no other level. He always brings his very best to the court.
Yeah, but
he plays with the highest level of intensity. He's giving you his all every single night. But if you are in that generational talent, if you are in that Mount Rushmore of guys who are playing in the league right now, you got to find it. You got to find another gear.
But Jen, we've also seen Giannis where he presses too much. So with Middleton going out, we've seen him before. We've seen him last year where we're like, don't shoot threes, whatever you do. If you're white, just don't shoot it, right? So there's still a potential for him to get more, but there's also a potential for him to press.
Is it fair to put a heavier burden
outside of his skill set?
Is it fair to put a heavier burden on Giannis? Is it fair to ask Giannis to do more over these next few games until Chris Middleton comes back, Gabe?
What? No. Like, I just don't know what you can... Again, 33 points on 20 shots is still pretty efficient. He wasn't great from the free throw line. He was 11 of 18 from the stripe.
Point to that. Let's just say maybe that's the space. If we're talking about elevating your game, is that the area where, like, you can't miss your free throws? Like, in this game, the margin for error is going to be so small.
But if he makes two more free throws, and that gets him near his season average. Like, to expect Giannis to just suddenly make 85% of his free throws, like, that's just not going to happen because that's just not who he is. Yes, he can go on a streak like he did in Game 6 last year and go 17 of 19 from the line, and he can get hot like that, but to expect that to happen all the time, I just think it's unrealistic. So, the dude had 33, 18, and 9 in Game 2. Like, to ask for more, I just don't know where that comes from.